welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review yet another Grenache, but this time from Washington, specifically the critically acclaimed The Boy from K. Vintners. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm a boy, though my mom won't admit it. Old Who song.
Oh, I thought that's really what really would happen in your life.
Old Who song. Yeah, no, excited to be here.
Unfortunately, the Triple B is not on. She is infirm, apparently. According to a neurologist, she needs to be off. Well, she's on medication and, build up a tolerance to the medication. And then, here in a few weeks, she will be able to rejoin the show. But she is on the disabled list, which happens occasionally.
She can't drink is the issue.
Well, she can't drink and she can't listen to loud noises. And apparently my voice is also not as melodic as it once was, but who knows? Who knows?
Well,
serious illness.
That happens.
Yes.
Or sometimes, it's the same voice. It's just more irritating now.
Yeah, it's trigeminal neuralgia is what it is, actually.
I'm not going to be happy you sharing that.
I accidentally said trigeminal trigeminal arousal, and that's not.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, I didn't say it to her, but I was trying to remember the name, and I was like, trigeminal arousal.
So you'll just say it to
It's not that.
Everybody.
No, I don't say that.
And this is not even a Wilfred Wrong joke.
Let's say I'm not her employer, although technically that is a HIPAA violation, but that's okay.
Yeah, your family. I mean,
we
member.
Talked
it's
about
still wrong.
We talked about when you had the clap. What the hell? It's no big deal. So, no, I'm just joking. She doesn't have anything specific, but no, she's on medication. She is on the mend. Hopefully, will be able to join us and join you more specifically on the Wine Vault in future episodes. However, tonight, out of respect to the Triple B, we are drinking things that she ordinarily would not drink. And, just like last episode with the El Chaparral, we are following forth and drinking more Grenache. But this time not from Spain. Oh, no, no. This time we are drinking one from Washington, which is an unusual place to find Grenache. However, they do occasionally make it there. And this is everybody's favorite crazy person, Charles Smith. And his K. Vintners, and this is The Boy. Now, for those that know, you might say, K. Vintners is not what I would call value priced. You're correct, it is not. This is $49.99 of your money, more specifically my money. But on the Wine Vault, sometimes we say, fuck that, and we drink things we want to drink. And tonight's one of those nights. So the K. Vintners, this is from the Powerline Vineyard, which is like a 38-acre tract. 100% Grenache, neutral oak, and some really high regarded acclaim that we're going to talk about here in a little bit.
Year in, year out.
Well, acclaim. Consistently. Well, all their wines are darlings of the wine reviews. I mean, if it gets a 92 one time, you say, what the hell happened to that vintage?
Yeah, right.
Especially when certain reviewers drink the wine. What are you talking about?
I wasn't invited to that wine tasting. That was actually at the winery. And I said, no, can you meet me at the La Quinta Inn outside? And they said, why would I meet you at a hotel? I said, no, it's a motel. It's a fine establishment. Just come into my room. The lights will be off. And then they hung up on the phone. I don't know why. I think I'm trustworthy. I don't know.
No.
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 No. I'm gonna get somebody's kidney back. That's all I know.
So, The Boy. Something I'm excited to drink. I know Scott's excited to drink. And we're excited to share it with you, even though you can't actually partake. But you can buy it yourself as long as we get ours first. But that's okay. Yeah. So we're going to take a break. because we want to waste no amount of time because we want to get back and drink this wine. Don't cheat, Scott. Here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back. So, the 2019 Kay Vintner's The Boy Grenache. Some interesting facts and figures about it. As I said, 100% Grenache. 38-acre plot, their Powerline Vineyard. That's where they also pull their Syrahs from. That's where they pull. They have a Cabernet that comes from there. And they're all in the 40 to 50 to above range. Those that know Kay Vineyards or Kay Vintners, it starts off about 29 and it goes all the way up to what, 140?
Whatever. Yeah. Just like anything else. How much do you want to spend?
And the review,
there's not super high end stuff. I don't think they have stuff in the twos and threes.
No. They don't go that stupid. Maybe they have something at the vineyard we don't know about. But, the Royal City and some of and King Cole, some of those things are their ultra premiums, but they're still in the low 100s.
Yes.
And they're getting really ultra high reviews. And that's the thing about this winery that, you know, I'm not going to name some of the California ones. We'll just leave them out. But there are some that exist out there. They start with an S and there might be a Q somewhere in their name. They have a similar portfolio to what K Vintners does. However, if K Vintners costs $100, add, you know, $300 to that price tag, then you've got theirs.
Yep.
So there's some bullshit acidine stuff that's out there in California where this, it's not cheap, but it's not stupidly expensive either. I mean, it's reasonable. It's obtainable. It's buyable. You can buy a really highly regarded Syrah for $29. So it's one of these that if you like Syrah, if you like something a little bit off kilter, it is a winery to collect from. You know,
I've got several. I think they're going to be interesting, but I'm holding them.
Yeah. I mean, Syrah, American Syrah, it's not like a Northern Rhone where you're going to hold it for 20 years, but 5 to 8. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a 5 to 8 too. I'm opening it quickly because I have more of it, but still definitely worth the time to look into.
Playful names too.
Playful, yeah.
I like it. You don't.
I'm good with that. I mean, so Orrin Swift has playful names, so whatever.
Well.
Molly Duker has playful names, you know. So the reviews. We're gonna start off with Jeb Dunnick. Jeb gave it.
He has some nice hair.
He does.
You know who else has wonderful hair?
Me, Wilford.
No.
No.
Charles Smith.
Charles Smith. No, that's not nice hair.
I think it's nice hair.
No. Folks, we have done one from Charles Smith before.
It was...
Boom Boom Syrah, a long time ago. Yeah, Boom Boom.
Yeah.
It's a good episode where you try to defend the processes of veal. Oh, my.
What about... Isn't he responsible for Petit Petit?
No, that's Michael David.
That's Michael David.
We also did Kung Fu Girl Riesling a long time ago.
We have
also done The Velvet Devil, but we didn't like it, so it hasn't aired. And we have, like, one of his Rando Merlots. I don't know the hell line that is in there. I don't know. It's old. I don't know if we'll cook with it or something.
Kung Fu Girl Riesling is a really wonderful mass-produced white wine.
It's offensive, but, you know, whatever.
It's not offensive.
Offends me. Well. So, Jeb gave this wine 95 of his points, and he wrote... 100% Grenache that was not destemmed and was brought up in neutral oak. The 19 Grenache The Boy sports a translucent ruby hue to go with straight-up brilliant aromatics of ripe cherry and wild strawberry fruits, white pepper, cured meats, and baking spices. Beautifully balanced, medium to full-bodied, as elegant as they come, it brings plenty of classic Grenache fruit, has ripe tannins, and a great finish. Drink it any time of the coming decade. And you'd say a 95 points, that's really a high score. Well, guess what? James Suckling said, you know what? Fuck you, Jeb Dunnick. Hold my beer. That's correct. I don't drink beer. Well, I drink French beer, which is to suggest I drink beer that tastes like shit. But I am James Suckling. You are not. And I gave this wine 99 of my points. Yes, 99. I had a stutter, and I said 9 twice. And everyone in the room looked at me and said, what? Matter of fact, I ranked 600 wines, Scott.
Yes.
Apparently all at the same sitting. And I thought this was the third best out of 600. I don't know. Apparently I have a staffer. I used to, anyway. But I fired Wolfer.
You know, you can take a shot for that.
I do. Yeah, staff infection, yes. Yeah. I got the joke. It's very very funny.
Well,
you're quite talented.
No.
Should go to the Catskills. Anyway, I wrote, the gorgeous nose of freshly ground pepper, red currant, and red cherry immediately catches your attention. Medium to full-bodied with fine tannins. There's so much pure and exhilarating red fruit and spice here. It always reminds me, or it always remains light and airy on the palate. So effortless, which is a sentence apparently. Pure austerity, precise austerity, which is a sentence. An incredible example of what Grenache is capable of in Washington. So,
I didn't review it, by the way, in case you were waiting for me to talk. Like I said, they wouldn't come to my motel room, whatever, and they didn't want to bring me a sample. I was like, fuck you. So you know what I did, Scott?
What'd you do, Wolfie?
I mixed Kahlua with mouthwash and drank that instead.
Doesn't that damage your palate?
Well, Scott, I don't know if it was Kahlua. There was those mini bottles, and they had already been opened once. And somebody filled them. I think it was Kahlua. It was brown. I don't know.
Did it have a funny silver label with a white rubbery thing on it?
White rubber? No, I don't know what that is. But I did pass out quickly after drinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure that was a airplane bottle of hooch and it wasn't a syringe bottle?
I don't know. All I know is I woke up 5 days later and I had no pants on.
That's not unusual for you.
And I was outside in the bushes.
Again, not unusual for you.
I know. And I never could find those damn pants. Those are my favorite sweatpants.
So, anyway, in the glass, this does look deep ruby and slightly translucent. Similar to the El Chaparral, but it might be just a little bit more garnet colored than that. It's not an overly extracted wine either, so it has a light airiness to it, visually, anyway.
Yeah.
It's dark.
It's dark enough. Mm-hmm. Dark-ish. The nose, wonderful nose.
Yeah, bright, wild strawberry and cherry.
George cherry.
Mm-hmm. There is pepper.
There's a floral element there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honeysuckle, maybe?
Yeah, maybe a little honeysuckle and vanilla.
What a wonderful nose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's Grenache.
Oh, yes.
That's a Grenache nose. I mean,
I'm interested to see how this tastes in respect to like a Spanish Grenache or what are you doing, Beau? Or a French Grenache. You know, how do they do it there? If it's similar to that, that's pretty cool. Maybe a little disappointing. I expect something a little bit more adventuresome than that, knowing the maker, but here we go.
So it's this wonderful, I'm just going to talk general impressions. It's this lithy, wonderful expression of Grenache. And then you get to where the tannins kick in and the finish. And it has a bit of Merlot-ish astringency that really dries the roof of your mouth. It is long.
It is very long, and it's very plush. I mean, it is lithy. Somehow it has richness, and it's medium to full body, closer to the full, whilst remaining, you know, bouncy and delicate on the palate. It's something I've not seen.
It's really interesting in how the front palate is so lithy was my word, but in contrast to everything else, it's not, I use that phrase where it shifts gears. This transitions nicely to a bigger thing.
Yeah, and the finish is still going. And it's the neutral O. It's just, I assume it's French, that is still filtering out through the end. So you have this core of oak that remains after everything. It's nice. It's interesting. And it's just, I've never tasted something like this, really, from the United States. And even France, they don't do this. This is slightly stylized in a certain sense, but it's really a mesmerizingly interesting, complex wine.
It, you know, Smith calls this his Rhone-ish or Rhone-like winery. That's exactly what this is. That's the style of this, except it's a little more fruit forward in a way than what you'll see with the Rhone. But it has all those wonderful Rhone qualities with just some really expressive fruit on that front palate.
It's almost like you take a sip and you're going through the levels and the layers of the wine. I'm buckling at the knees every little moment it's in your mouth and sloshing around, getting the nuances of the fruits. I mean, that fruit up front is so delicious. A wonderful cherry backed with raspberry and a little bit of rhubarb and currant, but it's slightly rich in a wonderful way. Not cloying, not over the top. It's perfectly in balance, but its richness is just so damn impressive. Then pops of herbaceousness just abound through that mid palate, and it has a little bit of like what Scott was saying. It's not Merlot, mind you, but it has a little bit of astringency, a lot probably from the oak, and then it just leads into that long, long, long finish.
Yeah, with that rhubarb, maybe like a touch of spice with like orange peel.
Oh, sure. Oh, well, the fruit has almost like a marmalade feel to it.
And it, the front palate's long too. You know, the finish is, I don't think you're ever going to have a front palate that's going to compare in length to a finish.
True.
In a proper wine, it just, not set up to be that way. If your front palate is longer than your finish, you don't have a finish. Mm-hmm. But this is a really long front palate with a lot going on.
It's as long as you want it to be. Because as long as you hold it there and savor it, you're going to get endless, endless joy. It's almost like you want to take breaks between sips. It almost has as much punch and as richness as some, you know, sherries we've had. Yeah, or port. It's not port-esque. It's not sherry-esque. It's not this coin over-the-top sweet. But it has the same kind of intensity of flavor that those wines have in a dry red wine.
And I think also
exquisite.
It's got so many components you can pull out. Really, this may have 15 things going on in it. You've got cherry, you've got strawberry, we've talked rhubarb, I mentioned like an orange peel. There's spice, there's I think, a couple different peppery things going on.
Oh, there's definitely...
There's like green peppercorn.
White pepper.
You like white pepper? Mm-hmm. There's a little spicier pepper.
Oh, yeah.
Like crushed red pepper or something going on. It's got a smoky feel about it on towards the end.
Jesus.
The texture
is of another world.
Then let's talk about all those things we pulled off the nose. One of the more complex noses we've had in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And understand the nose on this, it's not huge. This is all subtle. Very, I wouldn't call it delicate, but these aren't things that jump in your face.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
I'm trying to think of something I can compare this to. You know, we left one out, the Smith that we actually love.
What's that?
The substance, the cab.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's a...
Although I had the most recent vintage and it's fine.
But the for the money, that's a always a consistent performer. I think in the last 4 or 5 years, we've had one.
This is the closest thing, the Bila Oclidum. Now, this is much... This is superior to that. But that was... Where is that from? Is that from Languedoc?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Côte de Roussillon, a village. The Bila Oclidum, the Pedum, and we love this one. Mm-hmm. This is a far simpler wine than that, than the Boy. But the idea is the same. The flavor profiles are similar, except for the fact that the Boy is... I wouldn't even call the Boy a Magnum version of this, because Magnum suggests that it's something that's just pumped up. This is just... Okay, so say you have... Well, for those that know, Dominus. Okay, Dominus is an elite California Napa producer. They have a second label, Napanook. All right? So the Oclidum is the Napanook to the Boy, which is the Dominus. This wine should cost 3 times, 4 times what it costs.
You know who's going to love this wine? Me? Pinot drinkers.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it doesn't have Pinot Funk. But I would say there's a little mushroom in there in that mid palate with the.
There, it's it. You just go down a rabbit hole of stuff that's in this wine.
But you.
But they should be charging 130, 140. They should. This is that good. This is that good. This is in that realm. This is when you start. I mean, now mind you, it's not as good as. It's not the best wine I've ever had. It's not. It's not as good as like the Pagals, or it's not as good as Pone Cane, that stuff. It's not to that level. But it's not something that would be dismissed to suggest that this is one of the, you know, how many, what episode is this? 320 something? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so if we said top 20 wines.
Boom.
Yeah.
If
that's there's a lot of great wines in there, guys.
We've played the game, how much would you pay for this? And you just threw out a $50 bottle of wine that this should be 3 times the price.
Yes, I did. Because I think if I paid if this wine someone told me it cost $150 and I tasted it, I would go, "Okay, I see that."
Yeah.
That's pretty high praise. And I've never said that before.
You've never even come close to saying anything like that about a $50 bottle of wine.
No.
That it should be. They should charge more for it. And this, I'm trying to think of, you know, we really think that the Mount Veeder for the price is a really good value. And you can get that at 42.
Mount Veeder is a good value.
40. But it's nowhere near as good as this.
The Mount Veeder is a very good Napa Valley Cabernet.
Yeah.
This is a very good wine.
I think
the closest,
even beyond very good.
I mean,
this thing's exquisite.
The Marietta Cristo, okay, it comes down the same area, the same genre, somewhat. That's Syrah in it, but I mean, we love that too. Now that is $20. It's not nearly as good as this wine, but there's two wines right there that are this Rhone Ranger kind of new world take on the old world that are really amazing wines. This and the Marietta Cristo are two wines that are, and the 19 vintage of the Cristo got a higher review from Parker than the 18 did. Well, so, and you can say, well, he's overrating all Marietta stuff. Sure, sure, sure. But hey, knock off 3 points. Okay.
Okay, maybe he's overrating, but try it.
Yeah.
Before you say it's being overrated, yeah. Try it, folks.
I mean, obviously James Suckling's a crazy person, but this wine would stick out from a crowd. This wine is something that is a head turner. It is wildly sexy. You look at this, if you're drinking this, first of all, what would you pair it with? Food-wise, I have no idea. I do not know at all. It almost would be a waste to eat food with it.
It doesn't need food. It doesn't. This is
maybe charcuterie.
I don't want to even think about anything other than drinking this wine when I have it open. We're doing our typical little meat and cheese deal. But maybe like carpaccio or
beef carpaccio.
Tartare.
Mushroom risotto would be nice with this.
I wouldn't even want something that heavy. Just
would be nice.
Meat-based appetizer.
Yeah. You would waste. I mean, this is a wine that if it's your special night and you're in your wine cellar.
Yes.
Hey, you know, this is the thing. If you are a person that really shells up major coin, right? And you have friends that are coming over that are very, very bougie, that aren't easily impressed. Tell them, you know what? I got this $400 bottle from, you know, Coronas. But it's this instead. They're going to be, oh, really? That's amazing. You could pull that off with this wine.
I don't.
It's a plain white label, too. So Smith knows. It's like, fuck it. This wine speaks for itself. It's a white blank label with the boy written in the bottom left-hand corner of the bottle.
That's the point of the label, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point of the label. Now, he does...
Yeah.
Some stark, contrasty things.
Where it's mostly really, black and white is what he never uses really color. I mean, there might be a little gold in the Powerline cab. But it's
doing some more ostentatious labeling in these lines too, but for the most part, they're black and white, straightforward, kind of bold lettering, but that's about it.
Yeah.
But this is just stark nothingness.
Yeah. Imagine... What did I see? Oh, at Eddie Merlot's in Columbus, they're having this Thursday, strangely enough, a Duckhorn portfolio tasting.
Oh.
Yeah. So, $100. But, which actually isn't a bad value, considering.
When is that?
Thursday.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But, I think it's already sold out anyway, but.
Damn it.
It's pretty good. It's better than Jay Gilbert's.
Marisolet with watermelon margarita.
That restaurant has gone in the tank, man. I like that restaurant. You did too. And they have just went out and fucked a duck. I don't know how the hell did you, I mean, it's an excellent ambiance. You had a good wine list. You had interesting meals. It wasn't a la carte. It was expensive, yet it was reasonable. I mean, I had my 40th birthday there. We had a wonderful meal. We had a private room just like we did at the barn. Just a wonderful experience, and then they just went up and just fucked themselves over. They must have bad management or something like that.
I mean, they were going downhill pre-pandemic. That wine tasting Alanori?
In Anori, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where
the tasting was fine. The wine was good.
It was in Anori, but it wasn't because it was a portfolio was what it was, because they also had Stag's Leap.
It was like four. I mean, we had like six pours.
We had the Stag's Leap Chardonnay and the Stag's Leap Sauv Blanc.
Yes.
And which was weird. And then we had the Andonoria, the what is it? The Via, whatever it is. Their $20 thing. Vienna Nori.
$20 thing. And then
was it a Brunello?
Was a star, yeah.
Yeah, no, it was like 70. And it was good, but it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But the food was horrible.
No, it was, we had a, it was a ribeye with like tropical fruit on it. It was a cutlet, ribeye cutlet.
It was one of the worst cuts of meat I've ever seen professionally prepared by an upscale restaurant. And it's not the worst.
And the bar manager was so pissed off. He comped us at the bar. Remember that?
Yeah.
He's like, you guys had to sit through that. They never did any explanation of anything. It's just pathetic.
Yep.
It's just pathetic. Yep. Inexcusable to take people's money like that. But
this, it almost makes me squint my eyes thinking about pairing this with food. It just deserves to be the star without anything. It's just freaking wonderful.
I mean, you could just, you're not going to do sides and some sort of grand meal, but if you had, for instance, like a sliced porterhouse, and you're just eating a little bit of the porterhouse just as a thing, yeah, that's fine. But really, earthy meats would be, earthy foods, a little bit, with a little bit of earthiness would be really nice with this. Oh, that's why I said the mushroom risotto. Not a big bowl, but it's just a small thing. It's just a tapas. Something. Yeah. Just something. Although charcuterie really does work with it. Caper berries.
Oh.
God, I hate those things.
I love them.
I hate them. Where was that at? Caper berries.
Sycamore.
Oh, that's right.
It was wonderful.
No,
those were fantastic.
Braised beef cheeks and poutine was wonderful. Then they took that off the menu.
Yeah. They just went away. But
yes, why would you want us to enjoy something? What, you take us, our one pleasure in life, and you ruin it. You take it away from us. Death to you.
Yeah, beef cheeks on poutine.
Mm-hmm. Open face, French fries.
And
it was straight culinary pornography.
Yeah, but there was something also special about the poutine. There was something different about it, too.
Yeah. And it was only like $12.
It was fucking stupid.
Yeah. What do we always get as an appetizer? I remember this restaurant really isn't open in that way anymore. So it's still open, but it's changed hands like 17 times, and it's not the same place anymore. I don't know. We always would get an appetizer. I just don't remember what it was. So
yeah, I don't recall. You and I went there together once, and we got an appetizer, and we both got the beef cheeks. And yeah, I don't remember what the appetizer was.
Neither do I.
Was it calamari? Maybe.
No, we don't remember calamari.
It was a traditional appetizer.
Diablo shrimp. I've gotten that before there. Shrimp. They were fucking prawns. I'm sorry.
Maybe that's what it was then. We split that.
They had a, like a butternut squash or an acorn squash bisque.
Yeah.
With creme fraiche.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Remember that? That was good.
Oh, Chris Crater.
He
knows what he's doing.
In Vegas, it was Canaletto in the Venetian. Love that place. But I had a celery bisque. Remember that? Huh. With creme fraiche.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's a great restaurant. If you're out in Vegas, peek into the Venetian. Go to Canaletto. You're not going to be disappointed. Wonderful. I've eaten there 4 times.
is it the Cattleman's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had a beef stew. That was the house special that day.
That was
fantastic.
I bet that would be good.
Hank and I had those big steaks.
Mm-hmm. Beef stew at a steakhouse. I bet that's really fucking good.
I mean, that's right. It had filet in it. And filet and just like beef chuck. But it had like 3 meats in it.
Mm.
Yeah, it was thick. And that was the best soup I've ever had in Vegas.
Yesterday, I went to Giant Eagle, and I just got their petite filet, or their petite sirloin, right? 2 massive fucking chunks. Really good, really actually well cut. And they were about 1.5 inches, 2 inches thick. And one of them was 20 ounces, and the other one was probably 16. Legit. And I used, I have a beef rub that I've done on some of the stuff. Beef rub, then I did it on my Masterbuilt. 500, sear it, then put it on the top rack. Then I was doing some potatoes with some heavy seasoning that Becky wanted. And let them also indirectly cook for a while. Scott, it tasted like, you know, you go to Longhorn, you get a sirloin, and it doesn't have a vein in it. It's very, it's tasty, right? You know, pretty good. That's what this was. It was nice.
Okay.
It was like a Thanksgiving dinner steak. Those are always really nice. And I just did chuck eye, actually, surprisingly enough. That's a really tasty cut of meat, and it's cheap. As an alternative to ribeye. Most of those places don't have good ribeye, but they have chuck eye.
It's just such an interesting cut. I'd never heard of it until you got it from the spot in Bexley's.
Mm-hmm. I got this from Meyer, and it was good.
So, must be...
It's chuck roast. I don't know.
But chuck eye steak,
You got to look at it. I mean, it has to be cut properly, but it has the same marbling as ribeye. Hmm. The difference is, it's just a more beefy flavor.
Okay.
Which is, yeah, I got a Wagyu grade, not from Japan. You know, we're talking about American Wagyu. Chuck eye tomahawk. And, folks, it was divine. It was just absolutely divine. But, But the chuck eye, you cook it just like ribeye, and it's juicy, delicious, and just has a more of a stronger beef flavor, which is what you want anyway. And
particularly when you're going to use a grill/smoker like you have, it's going to hold up to that smoking.
It doesn't really, when you get to the high levels, it's not smoking.
Gotcha.
And I'm not putting wood chips in there, it's just working as a, like a nuclear reactor is what it's doing. And the nice thing is I could put my big cast iron in there and do whatever I need to do. And it has plenty of surface space for that.
Why not?
And grill beside it. Can't do that on the Weber.
You know what Charles Smith has going that we need to have in our lives?
Boom Boom?
El Jefe. He does 100% Tempranillo.
Really? I've not seen that.
El Jefe.
Probably good. It's better than the Arsonist anyway. Or whatever the hell that was. What was that called? It doesn't matter. It was awful.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what its name is. It was terrible.
You're compared to another Tempranillo?
No.
You're just talking about the Arsonist.
No, it wasn't called the Arsonist, though. What was it called? Folks, you know, we just did the
Prisoner?
No, that's not.
The Arsonist. I don't know which one you're talking about.
It doesn't matter. We did it side by side with the Pedroncelli Sangiovese.
Oh.
I don't know what that other thing was called. It was ghastly.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's better than that. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
I'm loving this wine.
Yeah. We're not really going to hurry to get back because we're going to be drinking, but still, we will be back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we're going to do something that's completely pointless and silly and stupid because we just want
to... As compared to other times where we do things that are pointless and stupid.
Ask Physician's Assistant Wilford was brilliant. Yeah, thank you. I
wouldn't try to get my medical degree, Scott. You know that? I did really well in anatomy. Yes.
You did?
Yeah, I knew. I could point out where everybody's body parts were. This foot was in the fridge. That torso was in my freezer. That hand was in my ice box. And I threw the head in the river.
Who's your instructor? John William Gacy?
No, it was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't like clowns.
I thought it was a cooking test.
No, that too. Well, that's the second. First is anatomy. Then it's cooking. Yes.
Oh.
It's fantastic.
CIA, Culinary Institute of America, yeah.
Well, no, not exactly. Cannibal Institute of America.
Well.
Let's just not get mixed up on the acronyms.
So, with that.
What a great lead in.
What? Was this on the air? Triple B normally says this. Are we recording this? It's like, yeah, it's a show where we are fucked down asses. What else would we be recording? Let's just talk about the sips and the drinks. No. We're going to talk about Wilford chopping up people's bodies and eating them. Maybe fucking them. Who knows?
So.
Wilford wrong, folks.
I even shocked myself on that one. Anyway. So. We have some obscure shitty songs. Of course. Not that we wrote. And we're going to pair wine with them. This is just a great, brilliant idea. Probably because we wanted to have a premise to refer to some of the lyrics. But Scott and I were... Scott was assisting me in bringing over some landscaping pavers today. We're men. We were lifting heavy concrete blocks. And, you know. So we had this... We had the tunes playing in the background. And one of the first song was that we heard was... Take Me Home Tonight by the elusive and famous Eddie Money. I bet his last name actually isn't Money. What, it was probably Eddie Myrtle or something like that, you know?
McCardle.
Eddie Turtle is what his real name is. No, I'm Eddie Money. No, you're not. You're not. And besides the fact, you probably have, you know, when you perform, you have your guitar case open at the front of the stage for people to throw shit in there. So, and nobody's throwing underwear in there. But anyway,
actually, I went to an Eddie Money concert.
I know you
did. They were throwing panties up on the stage at him.
What did you wear home?
Not those. Okay.
Well, anyway, Take Me Home Tonight. You know, we were talking. We didn't understand some of the lyrics. And for those that don't know, it goes, take me home tonight. I don't want to let you go till you see the light.
You just had
which
to
is kind of like saying you've kidnap somebody, tied them up until they realize that they love you.
Well,
I'm pretty sure that never works.
No, it doesn't really. I've heard from a friend, which you know is a lie because I don't have any of those. But,
nope.
Anyway, and so, yeah, then listen, honey, just like, and we didn't know what it said. The lyric was, we thought it said just like right sight or something.
Who knows?
Well, no. Eddie is singing. Listen, honey, just like Ronnie sang, be my little baby. He's referring to a Ronnie Millsap song,
and or the Ronettes sang, be my little baby. But I believe Ronnie Millsap wrote that song.
No, oh, so, and then I can feel you breathe. I can feel your heart beat faster. I bet it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's scared of shitless.
Well.
You know? God.
Seen those eyes, Eddie Money's crazy eyes.
Back in the 80s, man. It's like you could write that song and nobody even batted an eye. They put it on the radio. I don't think that he realized that what he was singing meant
yes,
that. Because no, there's no romance. It's like, I'm going to take you home and you're not going to leave until it's daytime.
Have you seen Eddie Money?
Well,
there's
no
romance involved.
There's no woman involved.
That dude could sweat. Man, he was a sweaty mess.
Well, you know. In reality, though, when he takes this woman home tonight, normally, after 2 hours, the time is up. She's got her money and she leaves. Isn't that how that works? I mean, it's all night. That's very expensive for Eddie.
Well,
I mean, he's going to have to put that guitar case out there a little bit longer, you know? Shake that moneymaker to keep her all there all night long.
Well,
and normally, they don't kiss on the mouth, and they're not going to tell you that they love you. I saw Pretty Woman once. So I'm pretty sure that's the way that works. So,
Julia Roberts. Boo.
You don't like Julia.
Boo. No, I don't.
Nevertheless, Scott, what wine would you pair with Take Me Home Tonight?
Oh, my God. Boone's Farm?
No.
The Prisoner.
The Prisoner. That is a good one.
The Prisoner, because
from Orrin Swift's same line, Unshackled.
Well, that would be in the morning. Maureen McGovern. There's got to be a morning after.
Do you really believe that? That would happen in the morning? Because, I mean, obviously she's not going to see the light, you know?
Well,
you know. Perhaps Boom Boom.
His other song, She Was Shaken.
Nobody knows the other song.
She was shaken.
I bet she was.
Down to her fingers.
No, she wasn't.
She went moving round and round about. That girl was shaking.
You know, strange enough, that's the way Eddie Money really does sound. Good job.
Hey,
He doesn't hit any notes. I mean, he just kind of whines and sounds like he's, you know, getting something stuck up his penis when he sings. You know,
have you seen the look on his face?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's perfect. That would hurt. It's like somebody sticking a straw up your dick. It's just that kind of way he looks. You know, it's just, hey. All right, so that's Take Me Home Tonight. The next one. This is a Wine Vault favorite song. It is a song by Johnny Gill, and it's obviously Rub You the Right Way.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, how is it? Yeah, and for those, we you know, full lyrics. What you been missing in a man? I can't survive. Your wish is my command. I'll work hard to fill up your needs. Give you lessons on what it is to go, baby. Get undressed, slip on this robe.
You're missed.
To sit back, would you rather be stroked? Can you feel the magic in my hands now? Touch and rub you the right way. Stroke, apply with tenderness. I rub you the right way. I like massage.
That was so bad.
I know it was.
It is so embarrassingly bad.
Well, yeah, but
it's like one of your favorite songs of all time.
But that's the way the song is. Is bad.
Strong.
It doesn't sound much different than that.
Rub you the right way.
That's pretty great. Yeah, but nevertheless, with a fine song like this, you know, feel the magic in my hands. No, it sounds like something that my children would write, because they wrote, I'm going to throw you off a cliff. There's magic in the air. There's magic in my underwear. 6-year-old wrote that.
And then you had to clean turds out of a cup holder in the back of the van.
Becky's like, that was a Frosty. Oh, that's not a Frosty. No. There might have been a Frosty, and then somebody took a shit in it.
It's a Frosty. That's what a Frosty becomes.
Yeah. If that's what a Frosty becomes, you never should eat it.
Supersize me, the 100-day-old French fries that were perfect.
Why did the Frosty have like chunks and shit of like veggies that were partially digested? Just asking for a friend.
Is that a rhetorical question?
I don't know.
Or
I don't
expect
know.
An answer?
I don't know. But Rub You the Right Way, Scott. What would you drink with this wine or this song?
Well,
we drank a port with it, a Tawny Port one time, but I don't think we did. What was that?
That might
R.H. Bueller, good port.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a couple ways you can go with this. You could go obnoxious, and then, I mean, you're going to think of Joe Wagner.
I am.
Yeah.
What have you heard? Not Chuck Wagner.
Joe.
Young Joe. Young Mayomi Joe. Joe. Okay.
Mayomi Joe. Mayomi.
Mayomi.
Tawny Port.
I was
does
thinking
sound
more
like a nice choice.
You know, if it isn't on here, but if, you know, I want to sex you up, let me take off all your clothes, disconnect the phone so no one knows, was on here, that would be Andre Spumante. So, you know, it's a guy that's really trashy, that smells like cigarettes, but doesn't actually smoke. And he has a sparkling wine for you to, you know, begin the lovemaking time, and it's Andre, you know, because he doesn't know any better and he's cheap and, you know, whatever.
Or it's the guy.
How do you smell like cigarettes but not smoke? I don't know.
How does a guy smell like a sweaty construction worker, but he works an office job?
Well,
that guy, it's Prosecco.
Oh, no. Well, what does he do at Dune? And let's not talk about you, Scott. So. The wine, though, for Rub You the Right Way would have to be, I would say it's a overly manipulated Cabernet.
Getting Joe Wagner comes to mind.
Yeah, I know, Bonanza.
But
that's Chuck
no,
Wagner.
No, that's it. It's
but that's Chuck Wagner.
But nonetheless.
Bonanza.
Bonanza fits.
That's right. I said to my mistress before my wife divorced me, I was like, I'm going to rub you the right way.
No. What's
I got a restraining order put on my ass. What's that?
What's the non-vintage shit they sell at
It's Bonanza.
No, at Target.
I don't know. It's Bonanza.
No, not the Bonanza.
Bonanza is non-vintage.
Rossi. I know, yes, but there's one that's worse.
I don't know about that. I asked if Bonanza is pretty bad.
Rossi?
Martini and Rossi?
No.
Say yes.
Martini and Rossi. They have Bar Dog. They have Bar Dog.
I'm sure they do have Bar Dog.
Bar Dog, by the way, I think it's currently the winner of our California Cab designation challenge.
No, Spinelli is.
No. First of all, Spinelli's not Italian.
I don't care.
Italian.
I just made it Californian.
Why are they making me sign it? I don't want
to
sign it.
What are you trying to do? What are you trying to find?
Find that wine.
What's the wine called?
That's what I'm looking up.
Carlos Rossi? Oh,
no.
No?
Folks, you know this. You walk in the store and it's...
That's a porn site.
What's wrong with you?
It doesn't matter because this is boring me. Nevertheless,
what's the next song?
Oh, the final song, because who wants to listen to five of these, is a song that we haven't had on the show in many years. And basically, it involves someone that was working through college on their grandfather's farm. And they wanted to have some knowledge, and this guy had a car. His name was Sven. Remember that? Like Strawberry Wine 17. It is Dina Carter's Strawberry Wine from the album Did I Shave My Legs for This? And Scott goes, yes, I did.
Of
actually.
Course. Why wouldn't you?
You're not a really hairy man anyway. So it's Strawberry Wine.
Depends what part of the legs you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. This dealt with summer love between a teenage girl and someone who was a bit older, which is probably some people would cancel because they're probably right, quite frankly, but that's okay. Slightly creepy. Not as creepy as Rub You the Right Way or certainly Take Me Home Tonight. It really, you know, Eddie Money probably though was like saying, you know, I really need a place to stay tonight. Seriously.
I probably does need a place to stay tonight.
I don't have any place to go. Come on. Please take me home tonight. Yeah. Strawberry Wine.
That song?
17. Hot July Moon. I saw everything. First taste of love. Oh, bittersweet.
Well, I mean, the easy place to go.
Green on the vine. Like strawberry wine.
The easy place to go is... Boone's Farm Strawberry.
No, this is too lovely of a song.
Oh, is it now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, if you want to go Boone's Farm, you go Eddie Money on
just
that.
Just saying.
Because he's putting the GHB in that shit.
Well.
But did they have GHB back in that time? I don't know.
Good question.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Roscato. Rosso.
Oh, Roscato. Well, sure, Roscato.
Roscato.
Actually, Roscato works well for strawberry wine. If we're going to do Roscato, that actually would be strawberry-esque wine.
It's a shit, but they have a whole line that... That they sell at Target.
My sister-in-law likes Roscato. Do you mean we had on the show, what's it called? Shit. What is that stuff that is a wine-type product?
One of
our coworkers bought it. It's like, wine, it's 5%.
What a wine product.
It's a wine-type product. It's wine-adjacent. What the hell is that called? Oh, I hate you. You're going to make me think about that. But I think Roscato is a good choice for this. Yeah, we had that. What the hell? That was the...
That's actually my choice for the Johnny Gill song, but...
That would actually...
Stroke!
To sit back and let something...
Love me the right way.
Is that a crooner singing that?
Well...
Can you feel the magic in my hands when I touch and rub you the right way? Stroke, apply with tenderness. So it's all about somebody giving somebody a massage, huh? That's interesting.
Relax Bubbles, non-vintage sparkling wine from Germany.
Oh, is it?
Relax Bubbles.
I've seen that. There's also Ars Vitas, but that's not bubbly.
Yeah, well.
You know, Meiomi is a sparkling wine.
Yes, they do.
They do have that. I bet it's delicious. It's not.
I bet it is delicious.
It's not.
They have a full line now.
A full line.
They have a full line. There's Cab.
Wow, how do they have the time to do that?
I doubt do they have the time.
Wow.
To produce those millions of cases.
Just switch the machine on, probably.
So we have to do the sparkling.
What?
We have to do the sparkling.
Do the sparkling.
The Meiomi.
Which Meiomi? For what?
The sparkling. We have to do it on the show.
Oh, on the show.
We have to.
Oh, you mean actually drink it?
Do it and review it on the show. Seriously.
I'm going to start taking Becky's medication if that's the case. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I mean, I just don't. I mean, just whatever Becky's doing must be right. Is this contagious, doctor? It's not. Can it be? How do I catch it? I can't. It's not a virus. Damn it.
Meiomi sparkling. If that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
By the way, the thing that Becky is affecting Becky is predominantly, like wildly predominantly, inflicts women. What the hell?
It really? Is.
Why is everything? I mean, what do we have? Testicular cancer and prostate cancer. After that, there isn't anything. That's not
well,
right. Well, that's not right. Oh, this is a good song by this Whitney Houston.
There's those mental health issues related to being an asshole.
I don't have that. I'm fine.
Yeah. Sure. No. Just being offensive in general.
Who, me?
I mean, yeah, in the Trump era, yeah, it's afflicts women too, but not as bad as men.
I don't think it's a disease, but no.
Well, it's a mental health issue.
It's fine. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on The Wine Vault. So the K Vintners, the Boy Grenache from the Powerline Vineyards in Washington. We know what the reviews are, but we're going to now provide reviews. Scott,
14.5%.
Topped off our glasses, suspiciously with more in his glass.
I...
Fuck you.
Cannot recall a wine on the show where we're down to our last pour, where I just want to make this 4 ounces last maybe for the rest of my life. So from the I want this wine to last for the rest of my life scale, this is top of the chart.
Yeah.
I don't recall a nose that's better than this, and I couldn't tell you the last time. I think this is a wine that, let's be honest, nobody likes Grenache but us. People like Grenache, but as a rule, nobody goes, Grenache is my favorite.
Well, they're creeps if they do, especially like that.
But once you drink this, you might go, Grenache is my favorite.
You'd still be a creeper.
Well, I'm trying to...
Sire!
I'm trying to say it like Chris Rock would, but I just don't have that thing.
No. I thought you sounded like Quasimodo or some shit.
Well,
like that.
Well... No, it's fantastic.
Dr. Frankenstein. We reanimate the body now. Yes.
Igor, as you sound like Igor.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
Yes.
So much going on in the glass. Freaking spectacular nose. How long could this go? 6-7 years? I know...
Yeah.
The tannins are spectacular. The oaking on this is spectacular. I hope it would even be more expressive with time. If I could take time in the bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is age the boy. I see why James gave it a 99. He's a horrible overscorer, but this is spectacular.
Yeah, for him, he doesn't know any better. Yeah,
for us, this wine is spectacular.
It's a 99. Don't.
I'm giving it a 94 my points. Yeah. I love this thing. Yeah. 4, 5, 6 different things going with the fruit. The mid palate. I don't think we even talked about the mid palate enough. A couple different things going with pepper that float into the finish. The length of this finish is spectacular. Mm-hmm. 45 seconds, a minute. And sometimes as we get into a wine and it's sat for a while, that kind of goes away a little bit. Well, it didn't here. If you properly draw air over this wine, it's got a impressive 45 second to a minute finish. And buy this, folks. Buy this. It's, you want to branch out and spend a little more money on something that's a really, really, really special wine. Buy the boy from K Vintners. And oh, by the way, get some proper glassware for it too.
Yeah, the New World Syrah.
But I think anything that's open, anything that's more of a bulbous glass,
yeah,
just have something that's proper glassware.
Now, I put it on the top shelf of the Wine Vault Hall of Fame. We have acclaimed wine, so we have two shelves, and on the bottom shelf, there's some really good stuff. The Chateau La Prade is down there. Quisilla Creek is down there. Not all things we've had on the show, but Heights is down there, Chimney Rock. Top line is the Smithfield Lafitte, the Poney Canet, the Pagal, Donjon, View Telegraph, the Saint-Honoré, and that's where the boy is. Scott provided 94 of his points. I had it in 94 too, but then I thought about it. And I said, no. It's a little bit better than that. I gave it 95 of my points.
Okay.
Soft 95, but a 95. Really an exquisite wine. And the fact that you just sit there, you know a wine is great when you longingly look at an empty decanter. That is something that suggests a 90. Yeah, we might do that. No. You're going up in the world when you start talking about that. The wine's length, the wine's complexity is another level that we don't do every day. At $49.99, folks, you need to seek this wine out and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, if you spend a shit ton of money on wine, you know, buy a half case, buy a case. Just buy. Because it's special.
If
it
you
really
don't
is.
Spend a lot of money on wine, but you want a reason to do it, this is the bottle to do it on.
Yeah. It's a very, very, very special, special wine. And it's in the Wine Vault Hall of Fame with high distinction. Tip of the cap to K Vintners. You're doing this kind of stuff and you're pricing under $50. Folks, if you like Syrah, if you like things that are a little bit off kilter, if somebody is slightly adventuresome that says, you know what, I don't need to drink Cabernet all the time. I like to drink other things. I like European wines. I like things that are a little off kilter sometimes. K Vintners is who you should be buying from. You should buy half a dozen bottles a year. I do this with Ridge, and I'm going to continually do it with K. I buy a little bit here and there from them. I'm going to buy more of theirs.
Yeah.
I buy 5 to 7 examples of Ridge everywhere a year because I like Ridge. But I'm going to do that with them too, with K Vintners, because obviously they know what they're doing. The Syrahs. I love Tinsley Syrah. Scott, have you had Tinsley? Tinsley's delicious. But I can't buy Tinsley, but I can buy K because I can't find Tinsley.
Mm.
I love a good Syrah. I really do. Shiraz, eh. Syrah, yeah. And I know Becky doesn't, so that kind of slows me down a little bit. But Scott and I both love a good Syrah, and we love a good Grenache, and this is that. This is just the next level. It's up there with our enjoyment. The Clarendon Hills, for those that have been listening a long time or listened to old episodes, Clarendon Hills is a better wine than this because Clarendon Hills is an epic wine. This is an extremely close to epic. Epic is 95 plus. This is 95-ish. You get above that, because I think I gave the Clarendon Hills a 97. You gave it a 95. It was a little bit bigger, a little bit better. And like the Bagao, that was our highest scored, I think. Although I might have eclipsed that with the Pune Canet, but I don't quite remember.
It's interesting. I've got some multiple bottles of K Vintners, and I've got multiple of Clarendon Hills.
Yeah. All the
fun days.
Yeah. All the K Vintners are getting high scores like this. 96s, 97s, 98s, 99s. Yeah, they just do.
Well, it's like you said. You know, if it's 92, you're like, oh, that's low.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, even you, this Grenache, the boy, you go back 5 years, and it's like 4, 5, 6 ratings of 93 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And this merits it. This is a special, special wine that's just...
And we've drank a lot of Grenache.
I think it's hard. I don't... No. I think, you know, sometimes Grenache can be difficult. It can be a bit of a brute sometimes. And this is not.
This doesn't come across as boozy. It doesn't come across as portish.
It's 14.5.
Which was my concern, and it doesn't.
Right.
Do
what was it going to be? What was it going to be? What's stylistically what it was going to be? Mm-hmm. This is very Rhone-like. Which I think Rhones can be approachable. This is not the burly side of Rhone. This is not that maybe set people aside thing. I think the Triple B, who's not a Grenache fan, would love this.
Well, I've been sweating the Aqualudum. I have another bottle of that. And I've been wanting to drink that. But I never have. This weekend I drank a bottle of Chateau Oit, which is just a cheap Bordeaux. But I keep sweating that, and I said, you know what, tonight, because we've already done the Aqualudum on the show, this might be like the Aqualudum, and it's better, and we like the Aqualudum, so.
Yeah, that's the Chapoutier.
Yeah, Michael Chapoutier.
By the way, his stuff's really good, too. He's
someone, his stuff
he's
is
someone
great.
You can trust.
Oh, yeah, his stuff is great. And it's from Côte de Rhône on up.
It is Americanized stylistically.
This?
No, Chapoutier.
Well, it's still, I mean.
It stands on its own, but he's marketing that for us dumb Americans. It's still very good.
Not the Aqualudum.
I think so.
No, he's just a big producer. No more than Jagal or Louis Bernard. I mean, I wouldn't say anything like that. Or any of those producers. He's not like some sort of farmhouse place. He's just successful, Scott. He's not marketing it for Americans. Everything's traditional Rhone varietals. There's nothing like that. He doesn't do anything that says Syrah on the label or anything.
No. I'm not saying that.
It's not marketed for Americans.
Stylistically, it's more stylistically approachable for Americans. That's my take.
Well,
you said Louis Bernard.
So, Scott, the ones that... This is a thing, Scott.
Where's Louis?
The ones that aren't... Côte de Rhône isn't supposed to be unpleasant. I mean, the ones that aren't just aren't very good. I mean, Parallel 45 just isn't very good. The Fleuret stuff isn't very good. Those just aren't very good producers. Domaine de la Solitude is good because, not because it's Americanized, because it's just a better wine. You know, Jagal is better because it's a better wine. Chapoutier is better because it's a better wine. Remember when we had the Perrin? Wasn't very good.
No. Nope.
Even the Spectre gave him 90. Didn't deserve it. It's boring.
It was terrible.
It wasn't like it wasn't terrible. It was just boring. So those wines aren't, I don't understand it because it's not Americanized. No. It's fine. It's a red wine. It's just dull. It doesn't have much to it. It's boring. Where those other wines, there's more to them. So, a 95, a 94, a Hall of Fame with distinction for the boy by K. Vintners. Bravo. Bravo.
Mr. Smith and his hair. I think he has wonderful hair.
I'm sure. You should grow it like that. Or shave your head again.
I don't have that curly hair thing going on.
That's true. Now that is he, really. So.
Wow. What would you call his hair? It's a weave?
Big Brillo pad is what I would call it.
Oh, Jesus. I know. You're so jealous.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy, if you didn't know, and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu, but we will see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.